So starting in Zechariah chapter 3, these are the words of our Lord. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes." Then I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. Now listen, Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you, indeed they are men who are a symbol. For behold, I am going to bring in my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and under his fig tree." And those are the words of our Lord. And this chapter reminds and promises the Jews a better outlook for their worship. Remember, as they've returned now from that Babylonian exile, now they're being reminded of great promises to them concerning their worship. And so it speaks of Joshua the high priest, which before you go back to chapter 2, is speaking to the nation of Israel and the Jews in Jerusalem, the physical land, but here it's speaking of worship. And so it speaks of the high priest. And that high priest, of course, Joshua points in this passage to Jesus, who is our high priest even today, who he pointed to even at that time, was Jesus Christ, of which you see Satan appears before the Lord there to accuse Joshua, of which he would attempt to do also to Christ. Many times when we get to the Gospels, we see that Satan tries to tempt and accuse Jesus Christ. But here Christ rebukes Satan, as the Lord rebukes even Satan today concerning us. When he accuses or tries or attempts to accuse us, we've actually found in Scripture that Satan is not allowed to accuse us anymore. He cannot say, "This one is a sinner, this one is a guilty." No, because Christ has died for our sins on the tree, on the cursed cross. And so we see that Joshua has these filthy garments on. He's given new, clean, priestly garments, showing him cleansed of sin in Christ Jesus. And again, promising a restoration to the worship of God and the presence of God among them. So Joshua is promised as well blessings if he obeys the Lord. And then the last verses, the last three verses, it's like a sermon preached about the branch, which we know. It says, "My servant," who's the branch, it's Christ, "and who will remove iniquity from all his people, the people of God, and bring them about victorious into his kingdom." And so, beloved, what we're called to here today, as this was not specifically for us, but it is for us today, we are called here to keep our eyes on Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, as he is also our prophet and our priest and our king. And those two last two things, our priest and our king, we see in this passage, but we're reminded also that as he gives us the word, that he is our prophet as well. So let us keep our eyes on Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that You have given us Your Son, the branch, Your servant, who has served us in a wonderful and gracious and merciful way, that He lived a perfect, righteous life in accordance with the law of God, Your law. And He died on the cursed death, that cursed death on the cross, that in Him we might be, as we've been hearing about, justified, that we might be declared righteous, that our sin would be atoned for and not taken into account because Christ died. And all the wrath of God, Your wrath, was poured out upon Him for us. That wrath that we deserved was poured out upon Him. And thankfully, after He died, He was buried, and on the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, in which we exalt Him, because He is our salvation. He is our life, and thereby secures our justification by His raising from the dead. Father, we're thankful that You have been hearing our many prayers in accordance as it has to do with our physical bodies. Many, including my family and the Deng family, have been sick, and we have prayed, and many, even others outside of our congregation, have prayed, and You have answered our prayers. We're thankful that You are a God who hears and answers our prayers. And so we pray even now for that pastor in Wichita, Pastor Brad, who's has that fluid building up in his lungs and body. We pray that You would heal his body, if it be Your will, and that You would bring about a great recovery for him. Father, we ask also that You would help him as we pray and hope for our futures and all of us, as we struggle in our bodies and our sicknesses, as our bodies begin even to fail, as we get older and older, even unto death. Father, we pray that You would strengthen us to serve You in those times especially, that we would be aware of what You're doing, that these things are a good thing, as You are bringing us to trust You and blessing us even through sickness, as we've learned in Your Word and through our studies of Your servant J.C. Ryle. Father, we're thankful that You are going to use death, which is, we know, a result of the fall and sin. You're going to use that to bring us into Your heavenly presence. And so, Father, we pray that we would see all these things in a great blessing kind of way, instead of always thinking negatively and as it feels like curses to us. Father, we pray that we would be reminded of the great blessings that will accompany these sicknesses and even unto death. Now, Father, we ask, as we have sinned against You, we have broken Your commandments. We've broken all 10 of Your commandments. We've broken all of Your commandments. We're guilty of all of them. And Father, we ask that You would forgive us, as we have not loved You as our Lord and our God and our Savior as we ought to. We've not worshipped You as we ought to, but we've gone aside and we've worshipped ourselves and our property and people and things. Because as Calvin says, we are perpetually idol-making factories. And Father, we love idols. And Father, we ask that You would forgive us of such atrocious things, especially as those of us who have believed the gospel and know that Christ is King over all. Father, we ask that You would also forgive us of our sins of not loving our neighbor as ourselves, that we have failed in many ways of gossiping and murder or hatred in our hearts, or being angered at people. We pray that You would forgive us of our lust towards other people, our coveting and our stealing and our lying. Father, we pray that You would forgive us of all these sins and more that we've committed, and even that we know that we've committed. And yet, Father, even those that we don't know that we've committed. Father, we pray that You would forgive us in Christ, and You receive us for Christ's sake. Father, we do pray for our government today, those authorities over us, that you would forgive us in not praying as fervently as we ought to concerning them, that they would be saved, that they would be those who rule according to your word, that you would give us peace on the earth as we worship you and to worship you. Because as we have seen, there are many in our, even in our nation today, who are continually growing hostile towards the church, towards your people, towards, of course, you as king. They do not want you to be their king. And so, Father, we pray that you would grant them a change in their hearts by your Holy Spirit, if it be your will. And if it be your will to protect us, and continue providing for us, not only in physical means, but in worship spiritually. And those freedoms that we've had for many years, we pray that we would not take them for granted, nor, Father, that you would allow the evil one to have a foothold in the church by even our rulers. Father, we also pray for the church. Because we know the church, ourselves included in that, that we have often strayed and turned from your word throughout history. And Father, we pray that you would continue perfecting us and clothing us with the righteousness of Christ. That you would give wisdom to your elders, the elders of your church, and to deacons. And that you would use them especially, but all of us, to be discerning and to strive for being grounded in your word and in the doctrines of the faith. Father, we ask that you would help us spiritually, not just in what we do, but even in our hearts. Father, I ask that you would bless us with sanctifying us in our hearts and giving us joy in the Holy Ghost. We pray in Jesus' name these things. And so hear us. Amen.